Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, September 25th, and you're watching Wing TV. As you can tell, I'm flying solo today. Lisa's still feeling a bit under the weather. She has a sinus infection. Can't quite seem to kick it. So hopefully she's going to get better. She's going to be sitting here beside me where she should be. So everybody keep sending her those emails and wish her some good luck here. So I hope she gets better very soon also. Also, I want to remind everybody that the Wing TV poll, we're going to keep taking submissions until this Thursday evening. Then results are going to be posted on the homepage on Friday. The question is, who is the worst mainstream media talking head? And right now, without giving out too many details, the main contest is between five or six different people. They're all vying for the top of this crap heap. So send your submissions in. We think it's a very interesting poll, and I think you're going to like to see who ends up on top at the end. Also, a couple announcements. Tomorrow, we're going to appear on Sam and Trish Britain's radio show. We're going to do it at 10 in the morning. I'm not sure when it's going to be broadcast. And also, our guest tomorrow is Mr. Bill Brumbaugh, who's going to be here for his monthly appearance. And last but not least, I have to make an apology. Last week, we announced that anybody that orders Wing TV books or videos or anything like that, we're going to put in something like a Wing TV pen, business card. We have these notepads here, Wing TV bumper stickers. These are all thanks to Miss Loretta Medaglia. But back in my shipping room, I had this box across the room from where I did this and basically forgot to include any of these materials. So I guarantee from this day forward, anyone that orders anything from Wing TV, we're going to put something in there. My apologies to all those over the last couple days. I just simply forgot. My fault. So let's move on now to the stories of the day. It seems like the biggest buzz around on the radio today and on the late night talk show or the late night news shows was this big debate between Bill Clinton and Chris Wallace of Fox News. Now, I use the word debate lightly because anybody that knows the way the mainstream media operates could very clearly see through this, that this was nothing more than choreographed political theater. And whenever you look at a war circumstance, there's always a point when the first shot is launched. Well, when it comes to the 2008 the presidential election, this was when the first shot was launched. This is when the gauntlet was laid down. And it's reminiscent of the Civil War. You can go back and really pinpoint a time when you say, hey, this is when the war started. Well, yesterday was when the war started. But the funny thing or the interesting thing is that it wasn't Hillary Clinton that was sent out to do battle. Instead, it was her husband, Bubba. They had to send Bubba out. And, of course, this was choreographed beforehand. It was like professional wrestling. Chris Wallace would play the meek, kind of smirking character, as Bill Clinton called him. And then Bill Clinton would go on the offensive and take him on. And what it reminded me of was the 1988 election. Anybody that remembers back then, it was George Bush Sr. running against Michael Dukakis. And what they did at this time, George Bush Sr. had the label of being a wimp. You remember that? He had the wimp factor. It was on the cover of Time magazine and so forth. So to get over this, what happened was that Dan Rather, when he was the anchor of the CBS Evening News, he invited George Bush Sr. on his show. Well, he laid a question out there, and George Bush took the offensive, almost exactly the way Bill Clinton did yesterday. And he set into Dan Rather and got very aggressive and rah, 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 rah. And after that, everyone was like, well, George Bush, he's not a wimp anymore, and on and on. And it's kind of reminded me yesterday because there's all this talk about 9/11 and Osama bin Laden and the Democrats aren't tough on terrorism, blah, blah, blah. Well, Clinton went out yesterday and said, look, we can be as aggressive. Bill Clinton saying, I wanted to kill Osama. I want to kill him. To try to alleviate in everyone's minds that the Clintons are soft on terrorism. It was a big joke. We were actually laughing through a lot of it because it was so preposterous and so evident that this was nothing more than staged professional wrestling. You know, when one person taunts the crowd or one of the wrestlers taunts the other wrestler, that's all it was. Now, an article that we ran last Friday was called "Alex, Does God Really Speak to Alex Jones?" Well, most of the people that gave us feedback, it was very positive and they were very thankful. They say, thank you for pointing this kind of stuff out, because anyone that thinks God is actually talking to them, there's something wrong. And in fact, someone sent us an email. This was on Sunday, yesterday, Senate. And it said, a week or so ago, Jones called himself Moses. Now Jones, not only is God speaking to him, not only does he compare himself to John the Baptist and to the founding fathers, but now he's calling himself Moses and he's leading the 9/11 truth movement. Can you believe this guy? And it goes on and on. It says, it may seem like delusions, but I think it's more than just that. Do you remember that story of him being a member of that World Church organization? He denied being a member, saying that they made him an honorary member. Well, one of the founders has stated that Alex was really a member, a founding member. He stated it on that opposing digits forum. Finally, the guy concludes by saying, anyway, it isn't delusions of grandeur. It's a big fat liar working for the bad guys. And you know, I feel bad for all the people that still are so deluded by this nonsense, because they say, well, you know, I'm so brain dead that I can't see through Alex's fake televangelist shtick, but at least he gives good information. Well, as we've pointed out here now for months and months, he's not even given good information, because when it comes to the real culprits of 9/11 and Israel's involvement in terrorism, his last videotape, he didn't include any Israeli terrorism, and they're the worst ones of anyone. So on and on and on. The guy's running a protection racket. He's nothing but controlled, contained opposition. And I know I'll keep getting emails, Alex gives good information. Well, if you want to believe that, feel free, but most everybody else is seeing through a shtick now, and it's just a big put-on. Nothing much different than the Bill Clinton-Chris Wallace debate. Another thing that brought us quite a bit of email was our discussions last week about various world leaders. All I'm going to say right now is I have absolutely no faith in any government leaders, any of them. The way I see the world is, it's us, the everyday people, versus them, those at the top of the control pyramid. And when you look at Tony Blair, George Bush, Vladimir Putin, Chavez, Ahmadinejad, Kofi Annan, and all the rest of the world leaders, they're nothing but controlled characters that are on the same team. Sure, they have different agendas. They absolutely have different agendas. But they still work for the same team. They're in the same club. And they all know the handshake. Don't trust any of these guys, because they truly are the enemy. And ask yourself, let's look at Hugo Chavez. He's a socialist. And he lives in Venezuela. He's the president of Venezuela. Now, in simplest terms, who do you think, or what do you think, is Hugo Chavez's agenda? Do you think he has an agenda that revolves around socialism and Venezuela and oil, his oil? Or do you think the primary focus of his agenda is the everyday American people? I'll say it again. Is his agenda socialist, Venezuelan, and revolving around his oil sales? Or is the primary focus of everything he's doing the American people? How about Ahmadinejad? Do you think that this man's agenda revolves around his religious beliefs and Iran and his reordering, his view of how the Middle East should be reordered? Just kind of like the New World Order has their view of how they want it reordered. Or do you think the primary objective of his agenda is the everyday American people? The same applies to George Bush. What's his agenda? Is it us or is it them? Tony Blair, Kofi Annan. They all have agendas. Every one of them has an agenda. Who, though, is the primary object of that agenda? If any of you think it's you, the everyday people, then you're either, you need a lot of hope in your life that you're placing your faith in these monsters, or you just simply can't see through the smoke screen well enough yet, because I guarantee you, the everyday American people isn't the primary objective of any of their agendas. And I mean any of them. Because what they're looking at goes way above where we are. And they'll use us, of course. George Bush uses us when he talks about terrorism, and that his initiatives are there to protect the American people. You hear that? That's what he's doing it to protect us. Well, we all know that's bull. And when Hugo Chavez comes in and does his little publicity stunt and in Harlem by giving oil away, do you think he really gives a damn about us the most? This guy that wears a beret, wears the red shirt, waves the red flag? We're not the top of his agenda. He's using us, just like everybody else does. And we're slowly slipping down a slope. And what I think a lot of people fall into a trap is that there's an old saying that an enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, that's absolutely untrue. And let me give you an example. In the alternative media, I don't like Daryl Bradford Smith. Daryl Bradford Smith doesn't like Alex Jones. So does that mean, then, that Daryl Bradford Smith is my friend? No, absolutely not. It doesn't mean that. But a lot of these people in the mainstream media like to repeat this mantra, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And it's not true. So Hugo Chavez says he hates George Bush and the New World Order. Well, he doesn't actually say New World Order. He just says the imperialists. So, Hugo Chavez hates Bush. You hate Bush. So does that necessarily mean, then, that Chavez is your friend? I don't think so. The same applies to Ahmadinejad. They all have agendas that are different than what ours is. And the American people should have an agenda. Their agenda should be to make their lives as good as they possibly can be, to keep the national sovereignty of this country as strong as it can be, and to protect us against erosion from these New World Order / foreign elements. That's what our agenda should be, to make us as strong as we can be. If we put our faith in people that have an agenda different than ours, the enemy of our enemy, well, we're going to end up being steamrolled while they keep pushing forth their agenda. Something to think about. And we're going to bring this subject up more during this week. Finally, wait a second. Before I get to the... And I said on Friday that we're going to talk about socialism today. Well, I'm going to get to that, but one quick letter we got from a guy named Joseph Cressido. Okay? And he was one of the people that wrote to us after we appeared on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM. Remember we spent a whole show talking about the hate mail? Well, he sent us an email, and he starts off, no answer, huh? Well, we don't answer hate mail to start with, so no, we didn't answer. He says, just as I thought, total cowardice. Yep, that's what it is. We're afraid. We're afraid to email anybody, okay? Then he says, total cowardice from godless, vapid, intellectual elitists who think they are above it all. Now, anybody that thinks we're intellectual elitists is so far off the mark, because we're as far away from that, or the antithesis of that, as we can be. We don't like intellectuals. We don't like elitists. But according to Joseph, we're intellectual elitists. He goes on to say, you better pray that Nazis of Islam are defeated, or it'll be your heads being held up in a video, ass clowns. So, I guess the next time that the Islamic killers chop somebody's heads off, according to Joseph, it's going to be Lisa and my heads that they're going to hold up in front of the camera. So that's real classy. And then, of course, anyone that uses the word ass clowns, you know there's an intellectual genius. Finally, he says, I'll be hearing you on more fiction radio. Coast to Coast should be ashamed of themselves. Well, I think the show came out pretty good, and most of the feedback we received from our appearance on Coast to Coast was very positive. Finally, socialism. Anyone who goes to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see an article that I wrote called Socialism and Collective Bargaining. And what this revolves around, really, is to understand socialism in a very simplistic example, you have to understand collective bargaining. And in a nutshell, I used to work in a factory. It was a union factory. And every couple years, the union heads would have to go upstairs and meet with the brass. And this was a big factory, 3,000-some workers in it, okay? They'd have to go upstairs, and they'd have to negotiate the new contract. Well, this was called collective bargaining. And what it means is that everybody that worked in a specific department, or everybody that was making the same amount of money, they call it the union pay scale, anyone that was in the same department or so forth, they all made the same amount of money after the contract was ratified. So, say you had 200 people in this department, and some of the people would come in and work their asses off every day. They'd try to pump out as many pieces or if they were running the ovens or whatever. They try to get as much work done as possible. On the other hand, there were a bunch of people that went out drinking all night. They would come in hungover. They'd fall asleep at their presses. They'd be slackers. They'd go in the bathroom and they'd be taking a crap or puking. They were slackers. They didn't do as much work as the productive people. Yet, at the end of every 2-week pay period, guess what? The slackers made the exact same amount of money as those who went out and humped their ass every day because of collective bargaining. Well, collective bargaining is nothing but socialism. That's all it is. Here's another example. How good do you think the pizza would be in your town if every single pizza joint was owned by the government? And after they paid their operating expenses and their costs and their payroll and so forth, all the profits then went to the government. Okay? What incentive would there be for these pizza places to try to make better pizzas or come up with a better idea, better service, so forth? There would be no incentive because all the money would be taken by the government. Now, we're close to that in this country anyway with the federal income tax, but that's another story. Also, look at it this way. You have all the waitresses who work at these pizza joints, and they work for tips, right? Well, what if all the tips, they were forced to pool them, to put them all in a can, okay? And then at the end of the night, they were evenly divvied up between all the different waitresses. What incentive would there be for the waitresses to give you better service, faster service, to come over and smile, to fill your coffee up, to ask if you wanted more water? There'd be no incentive, no motivation, because all the tips would be divided equally. Finally, how about the delivery drivers? They have to go out, drive around town, deliver the pizzas, and they get tips also. Now, if all their tips are pooled together, thrown into a can, and split evenly at the end of the night, why should they go out there and try to take the most efficient route? Or what's going to stop them from going home and hanging out for 10 or 15 minutes, or going to store and running errands or so forth? If there's no motivation, nobody's going to excel. Nobody's going to try to be better. And this is what socialism is. It's collective bargaining. It's massive taxation. It's more government control. And there's no incentive for anyone to do any better. That's why the Soviet bloc fell. That's why China right now got rid of their old communist system and are moving more towards free enterprise. We talked about Aaron Russo's DVD last week, Freedom to Fascism, the income tax, the federal income tax. Guess what that's a central tenet of? Communism, socialism. And what we need, the way I see government, is we want less government. Less government at the top. People say, what about roads or what about education? Everything private enterprise. You have a gasoline tax, that pays for the roads. With education, absolutely abolish the National Education Association. Abolish that tomorrow and let each individual community decide on curriculum and what they want to teach. Why should we have some bloated, out-of-touch bureaucrats in D.C. with George Bush's new no child left behind, or as I like to call it, no mind left behind. Why should we have them in D.C. dictating what's taught in our schools? It's absurd that we've given them this power. I mean, in my opinion, there should be no federal laws whatsoever. Give it all to the states. In other words, why is there a federal law about abortion or guns or the age you can drink alcohol or prostitution or anything like that? Let each individual state determine it for themselves. If you have a very conservative state that doesn't want babies murdered, then let the state say you can't abort babies in a state, and if you want to do it, go to the state next door. The same with alcohol. If a state wants to make their drinking age 18, why shouldn't they be allowed to? Well, the reason why is because the federal government uses economic blackmail on them to leverage them. They say, if you don't jack your drinking age up to 21, we're going to withhold our federal highway funds to you. Now, I don't even drink anymore, but the point is you have the federal government dictating everything, and the more socialistic this country becomes, the more power there's going to be at the top, at the federal government. If you like collective bargaining, if you think everybody in the country should be at about the same exact level, then you're a socialist. And God love you. But guess what? I completely disagree with that. I think that the harder a person works and the more of an ability they have to move ahead, they should have that ability. Why should everybody be on the same level with collective bargaining? And what happens then is these union heads who've gotten quite a bit of power, who, and they don't like to admit this, when they have their big trilateral commission meetings or their Bilderberg meetings and so forth, not only are the heads of the multinational corporations represented at these meetings, but guess who's also there? The heads of the union. They're all on the same team, folks. And a lot of the money that goes to these union dues doesn't go to help the workers. It goes into the union's pockets, or it's used for other purposes. I don't like socialism. And I don't like leaders that promote socialism. Is my view of Hugo Chavez clouded because of this? Absolutely. But I'm not going to put my weight behind a man who promotes socialism. I'm absolutely not going to do it. And I don't care how many good things he's done in Venezuela, or I don't care how many times he comes up to Harlem to give away free oil. He's a socialist, and if you want socialism, put your faith behind him. But I don't trust one world leader on the stage today, and in fact, I don't even trust one member of Congress today. If you want to put faith in him, go ahead. But they're on a different team than you're on. This has been Victor Thorne. We're going to be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.